Hey you, welcome to Bloom Baby Bloom, a podcast dedicated to holistic living, learning, and healing from an African-centric perspective. I'm your host, Maina Chenzi, a holistic life coach, multi-passionate creative, and your dedicated digital soul sister. Hey you, welcome to another podcast on May in Bloom. I hope you've had a good week. If you're listening to this on Sunday, it's officially the last day of February 2021. Am I the only one that thinks that time is just flying by so fast? It's going to be March, which also means that spring will be around the corner, which I, for one, am very, very excited about. And actually, this podcast is exactly about that, endings and having good endings. I was thinking about this just the other day because I feel like it relates a bit to the subject of this month, just about relationship. If you missed out on last week's podcast, there we talked about friendships and deal breakers. And previous to that one, we were talking about decolonizing sex and love. But a big thing about all these things is they're all about relationships. And with every beginning, there is a sense of ending, regardless whether it's death to us part. Things just seem to always have to a closing. And it's a natural part of life that we often don't prepare for. And I think one reason that is because our whole life, we are taught about the beginning of things. We are taught about the excitement of the beginning of things. We are encouraged to learn about the starting of things, but very little actually teaches us about how to end things, how to prepare for the ending of things, and how to do so in a holistic way, how to do so in a healthy way. Whether that can be an experience, whether that be school, whether that be relationships, or just even coming to the end of life. And I'm laughing because that can sometimes feel like a heavy subject. But the truth is that if we are to live a life where we can find understanding and meaning and grounding, we must be willing to accept all parts of life. And the truth about life is things start and things end. Just like, you know, this episode started, and you're quite aware that it will end. Everything has a cycle of beginning and ending. It's the natural way of things that are living. I guess the scariest things about the ending of things is the fact that we have such a bad feeling about endings. We praise beginnings, but we fear endings so much that we don't give them any focus or any value, whereas endings are always just as important as starts. The beginning of our lives will one day walk us to the end of our lives, and so it continues for everybody else and everything else that is alive. I guess how you approach that also comes a lot from what's your understanding personally of endings. Now, before I was mentioning that the heavier one is the idea of death. But in life, we experience many forms of death in smaller parts. And I would even say that perhaps they're there to prepare us for the ultimate death, the ultimate ending. But also realizing, just like with everything else in our everyday life that ends, after every end, there is a new beginning. Each ending is tied softly to the next beginning. There is this quote by Frank Herbert that I found. One of my favorite places to find quotes is Goodreads. It's also a place to find book recommendations and reviews. Even though I'm not big on reviews because I usually just read what I love, but that's a bit of a different topic. I guess I read what I'm drawn to read more than just going after reviews. But one quote I found there on endings was by Frank Herbert, as I mentioned, and it says, "There is no real ending. It's just the place where you stop the story." And as we know about stories, if we read books, if we listen to them, the end of a story doesn't mean the end of all stories, right? It's just the ending of a particular one. And I think we can actually use this understanding in our everyday personal endings. But before I get into that, I think what I really wanted to focus on for this episode is how we could have better endings with things. There are a few main places of endings that will be center of stage in our lives. The first one are relationships, the ending of relationships. But before even that, from a young age, let's say you go to a conventional school, you experience the ending of a school year, or you experience the ending of a certain grade, and then high school. And then maybe you went on to study more, and you went to college, you went to grad school. And then finally, you are thrown into the jaws of civilization, of society. And that's a new beginning, but that new beginning also marks the end of something else. This has also been interesting for me because there is something similar to graduate depression that is not always talked about, mainly in a way that will give us a bigger picture of what we might experience post-school. We spend such a huge time of our life being students, and for some time it can also become our full identity for most children, at least, or adolescents. It is their full identity. And you go from class to class, and then you go from grade to grade, and then you finish off, and then you have this big celebration. And that's a different way of seeing an ending, because it's a celebrated ending with excitement of what is to come on the other side. But that transition sometimes can be hard, because we often only realize on the other side how little we were prepared to jump into the real world. And also, I kind of just, on a side personal note, I find it quite interesting how we educate people for years and then just push them out into a career that they're supposed to do for several years as well. There is no in the design of the expected, the successful expected, a person taking a break or a person actually discovering who they are before they commit to a certain job or a certain way of life. It's almost just like from one seat to the other, from your classroom to your office room, basically. And for many, it isn't until they really start this new beginning of their adult life that then they start to realize they're mourning something that they didn't finish in a way that maybe would have made them feel like, okay, I'm actually aware of what is supposed to be happening in this transition. Because really, that's what endings are. That's like a different word for the in-betweens of beginnings and ending, transition. And all life is transition. We are constantly transitioning in small and big ways, but always in movement. So perhaps even to go back to the quote by Frank Herbert, you could also say it's not so much that where you stop the story is the ending, but the fact that it's just a closing of a chapter. But the book continues because your life continues. The book only ends fully when the book is closed and there are no more chapters written in that story. But your life on this earth, that's a different story in a different unique book filled with many chapters. And the interesting part is that we don't always know what the next chapter is going to have. But also, I was thinking when we talk about endings, another thing I would like to touch up on is having good endings with things, practicing intentional, mindful, and present endings of things. I remember when I finished my last year of boarding school. So I grew up religious, and our church had a school that offered boarding for students. This was when we had just moved to Denmark, so it was a great way for me and later on my siblings to be immersed in a Danish environment, which made it easier to integrate or assimilate, as you might say, depending on who you ask, I guess. But after 4 years, and by the fourth year, I was done. I was ready for that chapter to end. It was a beautiful experience one that I can look back at fondly because I learned so much, because I healed so much, because I connected to myself in such a different way because of that experience. And true to all transformational experiences, it came to a point where I was like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to experience something else than this. I feel like my time here has served its purpose and I can't wait to graduate and be done. I remember, however, as I got closer to graduation, even though I was really excited about moving forward, there was also a part of me that had to acknowledge that that had been my home for the majority of the last 4 years. And that was a very important part of the book of me, if we're talking about our lives in forms of books. That was a very important chapter. So before turning the page, I remember the last few days and weeks really being there and really enjoying being there. Even though I was ready to transition to something else, I remember really trying to appreciate that experience and that place for all it had given me, for all it had brought into my life. I remember going down to the river and looking at the water. I remember going into the forest and really enjoying them. I remember being with friends who would stay there and even teachers and just seeing them in a different way, in the way you see something that you know you're going to leave soon and being intentional with that presence that you're having in that moment. And I remember looking at the buildings, the different buildings I had lived in certain times of my time there, from when I started as a junior and then finishing as a senior, and just appreciating all that I'd experienced and lived through during my time there. When my family came and we had had the school dinner and we had hugged people and my room had been packed and it had been cleaned, and we drove up the hill and I looked back one last time and I accepted that this would no longer be my home. When I got to that point, I had already been preparing and welcoming the transition. I had been making space for the ending of that experience. Perhaps that is a bit of an interesting approach to goodbyes, because in that instance, in that situation, I knew the date of the ending. I had been able to prepare for the ending. I knew this time would come. But a lot of the endings in our lives are not really prepared for, or can't be prepared for in that same way, because they happen randomly and because life doesn't give us a timeline of endings for all the things in our lives. So there we have to prepare in the sense by simply understanding that everything is transitional. And everything is transitional because, as I mentioned earlier, everything is in movement. Everything in a certain way has to keep moving, and therefore everything to a certain degree has to change. So perhaps by making space for that reality, making space for that truth of life, we can approach and prepare for endings in a different way. I remember in one of my most serious relationships, after having had my first proper breakup, I remember feeling like because I had experienced that, I wasn't going to be caught off guard in the next relationship. In the sense, I already knew that things started and things ended. But I also knew that I did not want to use that as a way to not be present with what I had, or to even hold it in a way that was pessimistic. Because for me, understanding these things is not in a way to give up before you even started, or to not hold things dearly. But I feel like it's more about understanding that there is only so much we can have in our control, and the rest is up to our environment, it's up to the other people we share either relationships or experiences with. So in that sense, you are only really responsible for how you maintain your own readiness to transition, right? So in that particular relationship, I remember being present in a different way than I was in my first proper relationship and most difficult breakup. Because I think in the first one, before I was aware of the cruelty of endings in love relationships, I was so eager to manage the things in a certain way that they should spare me any possibility of harm. However, I didn't have the tools to do it in a way that would be true to the sovereignty of each partner, in the sense that I can only control and manage my own approach to this. I thought if things were in a certain way, I thought if I looked after certain things, I thought I could literally outsmart endings or anything that might cause harm to the relationship. I feel like my intentions were good because I was also young. I didn't know any better way of doing it than that. However, after experiencing that and experiencing loss and then experiencing the painfulness of welcoming and making space for endings and then daring to open your heart again and welcome new beginnings and new love, I just remember thinking that next time I want to do things differently. I want to be honest with what I can manage, and then I want to be honest in how I can prepare for either scenario. So my focus was different in the next approach. So forward to my relationship after that one, my second serious relationship after that. I just remember being much better at being present with what I had and being much more present with the kind of relationship that I was building, but also in a way being able to come down and be in it from the ground, but then also capable of going up and seeing it from a bird perspective, because I could see the bigger picture. I could imagine at least the bigger picture that this could either end in option A, we continue and we live happily ever after, or option B, we separate. So I know those are usually the transitions of relationships. What do I do on the ground to make sure that regardless what happens, I'll be good? Now, I won't go too much into what other love philosophies I might have that could help me to be on the ground in a different way. If you would like to hear or learn a bit more about that, you can check out some of my videos on May in Bloom, where I talk about my love philosophy, which I also recommend to everybody, even my clients, that you can always make philosophy for the things in your life that make sense to you. So I have one on love philosophy, and then my last video I also talked about loving freely or alternative relationships. So with those, you can get a bit of a sense of how I approach relationships and stay grounded in a way where I feel like it doesn't mean you never get hurt, because that's not the point. It's about going through things in a way that is as constructive and healthy as possible. That's at least the thing that I try to focus on when I'm creating my own philosophies. Now, obviously, even if you do have that bird perspective paired with the grounding perspective, like I say, the idea isn't always that you will avoid ever being hurt, you will avoid any breakup, but it's more of a way of understanding life and holding it and making space for it in a more flexible way, so that when things do happen, you are able to bend, adapt, and move through it with a certain understanding that isn't as painful as you would if you had a more rigid expectation and approach to your life, right? So I'd say that is one way that we make space for having better endings, is understanding, like I mentioned, that things transition and we find ways to stay grounded and have a bigger perspective. What am I going to go to next? Or how am I going to be in this situation in a way that regardless if it's A or B, now this is particularly a romantic relationship, regardless what happens, I'm going to leave this with some value, with some learning, with some appreciation, and with some growth. And also, always, I also think it's important to make sure that that's something you also want to give whoever you're sharing that relationship with. That it's not about always just let's try to have as many quantitative years or measurements of our love, but let's try to make sure that we have as many holistic and quality years and time in this love and in this relationship. I would say that it's the same approach I also practice, for example, when I moved to a different country. I make space for the beginning and I understand that beginnings are going to be a bit rocky, a bit hard because you're adjusting, or they can be very exciting and spare you from certain realities of that experience. I try to involve that bird perspective on all corners of that understanding as best as I can. And then the groundwork is basically being able to enjoy it, to appreciate that experience regardless, because you understand that it's transitional. It's a phase in that chapter of moving to a new place. And also, I try to already design or imagine what a good ending could look like for such an experience. And I think you can do that better because, like I said, it's not a relationship, it's an experience. So it's easier to prepare for endings or imagine how the ending or the nearing, what signs you would wait for the ending of that, so that you could have a good and proper ending in that situation. To use a current example for that, I would use my stay here in Lisbon as one. The fact that, yes, I'm here, and I said, okay, let's first commit to 1 year. I did that and I knew I wanted to work. I knew that, okay, by the time I finish the year, I'll be done. And then my plan was, like, for example, with my job, that I would stay there for 1 year. And then after that, I would take some time and do some traveling or focus on my stuff. Ideally both. And that was, of course, I planned that before circumstances around can also change. So as you might know, that might not have been as easy with the current situation to go out and travel. In fact, I spend most of my time off work at home doing my stuff. So there wasn't a lot of traveling, but I did get to at least say, okay, that was part of the plan as well. But this is another thing I put in my plan that I will have more time to focus on. So the ending of my job experience here was one that I could look forward to in a certain way because it would mean the beginning of something else that I really, really was excited about. Which I guess is another little tip about endings, is if you have something at the ending of each thing or each experience to look forward to or to prepare for, then endings also don't feel as daunting. So again, this echoes just practicing having a bird's view of your life as well as a grounded view of your life. Something that keeps you centered in the reality in the moment, but also the excitement and the wisdom to look at it from a bigger perspective and watching over where are you heading and how could it turn out and how would you prepare for either outcomes, all the outcomes you can imagine, because then obviously on top of that, there is, like I said, life, you know, as I said about my own plan after ending my first year of work in Portugal, I had different plans, but then life had different plans and I had to adjust. So again, that would include the flexibility part of it. The fact that, okay, I had these two things I wanted to do, to travel and to do more of my work. But now it looked like I'd only have time to just do my work, which I was like, okay, what can I do to get set up in a good way with my work? And also to rest. That was also very important for me because I just knew that I would need that after a year of that. I know that is definitely not the case for a lot of people, but I also recognize that for me, it was also because of the certain kind of job I was doing. It was very social. It asked a lot of me and that depleted me over the months. So I knew that I would use that time to restore myself. And that meant that because I wasn't going around traveling a bit, that meant that I'd just have more time to do the restorative part and chill and be present and do what I needed to do. And to be honest, I'm quite happy about that. I did manage to do one trip before we went into another lockdown during this time that I had given myself off. But I would say that it still served a purpose to have an idea of what I could imagine doing afterwards. Now, of course, if you're somebody who is in a job or who's in a career where you don't actually see yourself stopping, like you just want to keep, because some people are like that. And I think that's also valid. Some people are really ground people in the sense of, I'm just going to be here until I'm not here anymore, and then I'll see what needs to be done. And to be honest, there are certain times in life where I also take that approach. And having an eye view, or practicing in a way of seeing your life from a bird's eye view, doesn't necessarily mean that then we become like control freaks, but you want things to happen a certain way that you gotta be in control of everything and how it happens, because that's also the whole point. You can't do that. You cannot control what happens. It's having that perspective is just understanding that things are transitional and making space for having healthier transitions or having more creative transition or having more softer transitions. So I think that's what I want to really ground this conversation in. And so you can practice that, like I said, whether it's your job and you're thinking, okay, so when I maybe imagine ending this experience, where would I like to be? Maybe you can imagine yourself taking some of the skills you've learned, but you want to do something else. Or maybe you want to be in something totally different because you've experienced this and you know that's not really a good fit for me. Or maybe it was in this chapter of my life, but this is what I want to do. And maybe I'll go to a different company and do something else, or even do things for myself, or get a little side hustle, which I always recommend, where I do a bit of things by myself, but I don't have like the full burden or challenge of just sustaining myself. So it's totally up to you how you model that. But just having that experience of knowing that, hey, I expect and I respect and I accept that things do change, that I do change, and I'm going to add that in the tools or understandings of how I move through life. People change, we change, things change. It's so funny, my sister actually has a song with those kind of similar lyrics. By the way, if you're listening, I love you and I can't wait for you to drop that freaking album because I'm one of her biggest fans for sure. I wanted to share that with you guys, and just the way that we can sit in life from a place of space making, from a space of just accepting that things move and things change. Because another good thing that does come out of that is also realizing that if you're going through something challenging, if you're going through something that is really draining you, that too is a transitional thing. That too is something that cannot last forever. So you keep that faith in moving through it because you know that it's just a chapter of your life. And you know that at some point that chapter 2 will end. And then on the other side, when you do have things that you love, things that you're really enjoying, that you revel in the moment of them, that you stay very grounded and present and you pick up every nuance of appreciation you can suck out of that experience. Because you understand that, hey, this is a moment and this too shall pass, whether I love it or not. Whether it's for me or it's challenging to me, everything is passing, everything is transitional. So basically, the practice of good endings is also about being good at being present with what you have and where you are, but also being good at practicing a holistic perspective of your life that does include the understanding of the past, where things did start and end, the understanding of things that are currently ongoing, where you can appreciate and love, and the understanding of the future that will welcome new beginnings and new endings as well. I think one thing I'd also like to end is having a bit of a ritual around the closing of certain chapters in life. And as I mentioned in the beginning about my experience when I was leaving my boarding school experience and how I tried to really in the last weeks and days to really be present with it, I think another ritual that can be added to that is writing down, making a journal, or even, because maybe you're not into journal, you can do a bit of an audio to yourself, an audio memo. Or you can just sit down and take a moment to really experience the closing of that experience. So basically, that could look like, if you're journaling, that you write down, what did I learn? What am I taking? And what am I leaving behind? This way, you are clearly engaging with the ending of that experience, right? even if you don't write it down as essay and you just think about it, what did I really enjoy from this experience? What did I start out not having that I have now? Or what did I start out not knowing that I know better now? And what have I maybe gained questions in that I'd like to explore moving forward? In the same way that you would be reading a book or a novel, and each page, each chapter is kind of inviting you to be excited about the next page, in the sense that you understand that the story moves on and you are intrigued and excited about discovering how it moves on. I honestly feel like that is also a very comforting way of making space for endings, because we see them as not throwaways of unsuccessful or unvaluable things in our lives, but rather we see them as stepping stones to the next phase of our lives. And we need to make sure that whatever we have under us, the foundation of where we are going, or the foundation that guides us to where we might be going, it's one that we understand honestly, and is one that we can hold space for in our life to move us forward in a positive and constructive way. I think that's also why I've fallen in love with history when we talk about like the more activist or social issues, because you realize that wherever you are only starts making sense by understanding where you were and how you got to where you are. And so in any moving forward, a relationship between those three parts of existence, and maybe you could even go into the more quirkier sides of science that might even play with the idea of all of those times existing in the same time, just on parallel universes. Basically, that everything is right here. And I think that's also something nice to carry with us, because I also use that in some of my sessions when we are having something lingering from the past on us. Something that we mostly engage with from a passive perspective, because we see it as something unchangeable because it happened in the past. And I always like to have a practice of where you can engage with that past self in a way that actually changes how you view that situation in your present self and helps you detach or accept or embrace that experience in a way that is more constructive and healing for your existence. So in that regard, I think also realizing that while endings can sometimes feel unchangeable, however, our understanding of them is not, and we can always tweak that to a way that feels like, wow, that feels much better, or that gives me a better grounding, or that feels lighter to keep carrying with me in a way that is, it's going to be something I can use to move forward rather than something pulling me back. I hope all of that has given you another way you can see endings, to add to the way perhaps you already see endings, or maybe even just a chance to reflect on, have I even thought about how I see endings and how I incorporate them to my beginnings in so many ways? And what I have shared is only one particular way of looking at endings, but there is endless things you can learn or hear about people's way of approaching endings, or even how they navigate endings, or even if they do believe in endings. Because I think for me, I say ending, but loosely, because like I said, every ending is softly knitted to another beginning. So nothing really ever leaves forever. Everything is consistently there. So I think I'm more of the wacky scientist community in that sense, that I do believe that everything affects everything and everything does not stay still because it happened in the past or because we imagine it for the future, but everything is constantly molding everything when it comes to past, present, and future, endings and beginnings, and transitions in between. Anyway, on that note, it is time for the ending of this podcast episode. I hope that you have enjoyed it, and I hope it has brought you value, and I wish you a beautiful last day of February. I hope you've had a good month, And I hope that you are getting just as excited for another beginning, the springtime. And I hope you've had a good winter experience as well. Otherwise, until next time, do take care, and I will talk to you in my next episode. Bye, guys. I hope you have enjoyed this episode on Bloom Baby Bloom. If you have any questions or comments or just little hi's, please feel free to reach out here or on our website at bloombabybloom.com. Otherwise, as always, I send you love, courage, and light to guide you on your path to your truest and most abundant self. You are so very worthy. See you next time. With love, May.